This is Dallas Mifford from Las Vegas, Nevada. Brother Frost asked myself, and I'm sure quite a few others, to respond to, I think, about five questions regarding to Brother Terry. And the questions were, how would you describe his leadership style? What was peculiar or significant about his preaching? What were some of his regular sayings? How was your personal ministry impacted? What elements of his ministry have you passed on? So we'll take the first one. How would you describe his leadership style? Well, Brother Terry had no particular style that was like anyone else. He emulated no one in tone or tempo or decibels. He was just himself. Everything he said was logical, scriptural. He was colorful and interesting and entertaining. He did not joke or try to be funny. And so his style, well, he was just one of a kind. I think that'll handle that first one. Now, the second one was, what was peculiar or significant about his preaching? The word peculiar has two definitions, as I understand it. One definition is strange, and I don't think he was strange in the sense of being strange, because he was logical, and all that he said was solid. That is why so many people were willing to follow. The other definition is one of a kind. He definitely was one of a kind. He stood alone. Number three, what were some of his regular sayings? There's going to be a lot of people responding, and they're going to cover this a lot better than I can. And so I have, I'll just mention one that stands out above all others to me. I've used it a lot. As we would be discussing a situation, perhaps maybe some young man went to a city, had a lot of tough luck, and after we got through talking about it and sympathizing and all, Brother Terry would say, "The end is not yet." Or if someone seemingly was doing well, maybe not holding up the doctrine too well, but gaining in numbers, he would conclude those situations with, "The end is not yet." And I've allowed this to help me, guide me through moments when I'm confused about what's happening. The end is not yet. And number four was, how was your personal ministry impacted? The word is just simply greatly. I met Brother Terry when I was 10 years old. My own father had passed away when I was around 7.5 years old. So Brother Terry became my surrogate father, as well as my pastor and teacher. His preaching and teaching and his personal life became my guiding light. He touched every nook and cranny of my life. And so the answer to the question is, he impacted my life greatly. And I guess number five, what elements of his ministry have you passed on? Well, I hope I've passed on the spirit of truth and the love of truth. The truth being the one Son of Godhead. Repentance, baptism in Jesus' name, and filling the Holy Ghost, evidence of speaking with other tongues, holiness within and without, and good principles. All of these things to be absolutely essential. This I hope I have passed on. In 1 Corinthians 4:15, the scripture said, we may have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet not many fathers. And I would suggest that to a lot of us that are here today and during this meeting could truthfully say Brother Terry became more than just a pastor and a teacher, but he actually became a father to us in many respects. He's a great man. I respect him greatly. And I think I've kept it to the right time schedule. Thank you very much.
turn with me to Deuteronomy, the 19th chapter and the 15th verse. I would that the young people listen to this. I want to tell you about someday out yonder. Someday out yonder, you're going to want God. If there's a cold spot in your heart tonight, there's going to be a warm spot someday if you live, percentage-wise. Sister McAllister, you move down a little from Sister Bray. Right there. Now you be real quiet. She feels good and wonderful age. When I get done, she'll say, "Well, I just smiling. Nothing wrong with that." You even do that right there. Ah. There will be a warm spot in your heart for God. Someday you'll want Him. And the best way to find God is to know where He's located and how to find Him. Then I want to make another mention about children. I don't know if there's a whole lot of difference in any of you people. I think all of you relatives sprung from Adam and Eve out of the garden. Now, they do talk about a tree bunch. I don't know who they are. They're monkeys and apes and gorillas and all those that go along. But I'm laying mine back, carrying it back to Adam. So we're all kinfolk. We all, our grandfather, great-great-grandfathers, were brothers. They all came off of one boat. And that was Noah's boat, the ark. Ham, Shem, and Japheth. God has made all kindreds of one blood. We don't all accept the same color because we're all a little prejudiced about who we are. If I was black tonight, I would be proud of being black or try to be. If I was a Blackfoot Indian or a Chickasha or a Mohawk or a Mohicans, I'd just say, boy, that's what I am. In this, we're born of the water and the spirit. And really, there's none of you in here got any blue ribbon children without the help of God and the church and prayer. Some of them are better than others. But the bad ones may turn good tomorrow. And the good ones may turn bad tomorrow. I've seen it work both ways. So, don't be too critical of each other's children. I really can't tell any difference between a good boy and a good boy. A good girl and a good girl. And the great hope of it is coming to church, living for God, and overcoming the world. So much for that. I don't want to hear any of you ever brag too much on your children. You brag far too much on me, I tell you. And you can brag too much on your wife. You can say, oh, that's the best wife, she's the best cook, and somebody dropped by the house someday and she's cooking and she burns it and it runs over on the stove and she brings in something to eat, tough as shoe leather. You know, she'll forget to put the sugar in or put too much. And the very day you've been a bragging on her, the next day you may go and she said, oh, excuse this dirty house. I haven't had time to get to it. And you look over there and you can write your name on the end tables. Makes it sound like she did it yesterday and hadn't got to it today, but really it's been 2 weeks. But it's home and they know where it's all at. Everybody happy? Happy. All right, now as we go into this lesson will be a word lesson. Very simple and to the point. It's found in Deuteronomy, the 19th chapter. It's found in the 15th verse. One witness shall not rise up against a man for any iniquity, for any sin, in any sin that he sinneth. At the mouth of two or three witnesses, or at the mouth of three witnesses shall the matter be established. Do you hear what that said? That was really, that was the law. That's what the law. But we're not on the law tonight. We're on another subject altogether, but we're on two or three witnesses. Now, it's that one witness, that is, you know, if you said it and I said it, and they said yes and I said no, and they said yes and I said no, finally they said, well, they just throw it out of court. But it says, one witness shall not rise up against a man for any iniquity, for any sin, in any sin that he sinneth. At the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every word be established. If a false witness rise up against any man to testify against him, that which is wrong, then both the men will withstand the controversy, shall stand before the Lord and before the priests and the judges, which shall be in that day. The judge shall make diligent inquisition. And behold, if the witness be false witness, has testified falsely against the brother, then shall he do unto him as he had thought to have done unto his brother. So shalt thou put evil from among you. All right, now we're going to leave that with two or three witnesses, and we're going to the New Testament, 2 Corinthians 13 and 1. Paul said, this is the third time I am coming to you. In the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every word be established. Now, if you run the reference on that scripture, it will carry you back to this. Give me your minds. It will carry you back to the book of Deuteronomy, the 19th chapter, the verse that I just read to you. Paul speaking, 2 Corinthians 13 and 1. This is the third time I'm coming unto you. In the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every word be established. I told you before and foretell you, as I am present the second time, being absent now, write unto you, which thereafter have sinned, and to all others, that if I come again, I will not spare. Since you seek a proof of Christ speaking in me, which to you word is not weak, but is mighty in you. For though he was crucified through weakness, yet he liveth by the power of God. For we also are weak in him, but we shall live with him by the power of God toward you. Examine yourselves. Examine yourselves whether ye be of the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates. But I trust that you shall know that you are not reprobates. These two scriptures harmonize very carefully with each other. The mouth of two or three witnesses. One said the judge or the priest, they'll dive into it and they will search out a matter to see if the witnesses are right. The Apostle Paul left that to a different thing here. He said in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word shall be established. But then he said, examine yourselves. You remember over in the Corinthians 11th chapter, 1 Corinthians? Listen. But if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. I want y'all to listen to this. Give me your minds. This is a short message, but I want you to get it. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. The Apostle Paul said, examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobate. All right, now the Bible is speaking here of two or three witnesses. Lots of times when you go out in the world to meet people, you will find a witness that, now I'm going to preach on Jesus' name, baptism. So if you're trying to figure out what I'm going to preach on, give me your minds and learn this and you'll have it all your life. Hear me? You'll never have to change. You'll be settled on it. All right. But a man will say, I'd rather have Jesus' words than Peter's words. That's an oldie. And then they say Peter denied him, remember? That's another oldie. But Acts of the Apostles tells us that they preached with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven. Jesus, when he prayed in the garden, if you'll turn to the 17th chapter of St. John, you'll learn a verse, and if you learn it now, you'll always have it. And if you have it, it'll fortify you against anything that any man may approach you. And let me read you some of this. Fourth verse. And I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou givest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I have manifested thy name unto the men, which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou givest them to me, and they have kept thy word. Don't let anybody ever tell you that the apostles are not straight and solid. Jesus said, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou givest me are thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou givest me, and they have received them. Now Jesus is not praying a false prayer. They have received them, and have known surely that I have come out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. Listen to this verse. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. And all thine are mine, and all thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are one. You know how that is? One body and one people. Jesus had one body. God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost. Everybody say, none of the apostles that God gave Jesus are lost. He said, listen what it says. I kept them in thy name. Though that thou gavest me, I kept, and none of them are lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now come I unto thee. These things I speak unto the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in them. I have given them thy word. Listen, Jesus praying. I have given them, that's the apostles, I have given them thy word, and the world has hated them, because they are not of the world, even I am not of the world. I pray not that thou should take them out of the world, but thou should keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. What is truth? Thy word is truth. And thou hast sent me into the world, even so I have sent them into the world. This is the apostles. And for their sake I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified through the truth. How are you set aside? By truth. This is a verse I've been... Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their words. Now, I do not know if you listened to that prayer. But he said, those you gave me, they're not lost. Then he said, that they were yours, you give them to me, and I've kept them in thy word. But now he's praying, and we'll just say the 12 there. He said, I pray not for these only. That's the 12. That's all but the son of perdition. But for all them that will believe on me through their words. Now, in the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word is established. Now, I want you to come up here. Bring your Bible. And I want you to come up here, Brother Paul. And, Kenny, I want you to come with your Bible. Now, I'm going to present two or three witnesses. Now, to establish anything, there's got to be two or three witnesses. Come here, I want you to be Peter. His name starts with what? P. I want you to read Acts 2:37 and 38. This is my first witness. I'm just presenting him to you.
Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and unto the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, Repent, and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost.
Well, I would like to present this man to you. He was the first apostle ever chosen. He was brought to the Lord by his brother Andrew. Jesus gave him the keys to the kingdom. And in praying, he said, You're not lost. And in praying, he said, You have kept the word that he gave you. So, you've been the jury. I would just like to present you my first witness. Get you one of those chairs. The next one, I want you to come up here. I want this man's name is Paul. What does his name start with? P. All right. I want you to read Acts, the 19th chapter. Incidentally, I want you to memorize this. And while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus. Start reading, Paul.
And finding
certain... No, start with the first verse. Step into that.
And it came to pass that while Apollos was in Korea...
At Corinth.
Paul, having passed through the upper coast,
came to Ephesus.
And finding certain disciples, and said unto them, Have ye received the Holy Ghost since ye believed? And they said unto him, We have not so much as heard, whether there be any Holy Ghost. And he said unto them, What then were ye baptized? And they said, Unto John's baptism. And then said Paul,
Then said my witness, What?
John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is on Christ Jesus.
When they heard this,
they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus.
All right, thanks. That's my second witness. Hey, Peter, this guy baptized in Jesus' name. How'd you do it? In the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word been established. How many? You know how many books you wrote in the New Testament? How many? Peter, you wrote two. First and Second Peter. You're not Paul. Paul wrote 13. All right, you be seen. That's all right. There ain't nothing about that. All right. Now, what normal, sensible man, that if you wanted to dive into a witness to search him out, you know, he's a false witness, you think. So you are the judge, and you're asking all kinds of questions to crack up the case. And I give you a man by the name of Peter that Jesus gave the keys to the kingdom to, the first apostle ever chosen, and the Lord said that he was not lost. Now, if you're lost, Peter, and you're not kept, then Jesus is a hoax. And Jesus is no hoax. Paul, he allowed you to write 13 books in the New Testament. If Hebrews is giving credit to you, they say. You are the apostle for the Gentiles, preacher and teacher. That's who you are. He was to the Jews
and you were to the Gentiles. Although he brought the Gentile family in Cornelius' household. Got the picture? Huh. Now, if I've got anybody in here that's one of those people living in the street God and they're in question of this baptism, you come up and search Peter Paul out. Now I need you to come forth. I want this man's name is Philip. What did your name start with?
Pete.
Isn't that odd? Any dummy can remember that, can't he? Huh? Mouth of two or three witnesses, every word be established. Peter, Paul, and Philip. Easy to present these witnesses. All right. You go to the 8th chapter of the book of Acts. Got it?
Got it.
All right, I want you to start reading. Fifth verse.
Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them, and they many taken with palsies, and that were lame were healed, and there was great joy in the city. But there was a certain man named called Simon, which before time in the same city used sorcery, and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one, to whom they all gave heed, from the least to the greatest, saying, "This man is the great power of God." And to him they had regard, because that of a long time he had bewitched them with sorceries. But when they believed Philip, preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Then Simon himself believed also, and when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which were done. Now when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John.
All right, hold that just a minute. All right, go right ahead.
Who, when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet he was not fallen upon none of them. Only they were baptized.
Only they were baptized.
In the name of the Lord Jesus.
In the name of the Lord Jesus. So, I want to present my three witnesses. Now, if you remember this, everybody give me your minds. Everybody give me your minds. Give me your minds. All you stargazers, give me your minds. If I gave you an IQ test when this is over, you'd possibly say it all happened in James. All right. Now, once you get this, you'll never be disturbed if you remain with it. Now, how simple that is. In the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word should be established. Peter, Paul, and Philip. Peter in Acts 2:38, Paul in 19:5, Philip in Acts 8:16. How the apostles acted, all baptized in Jesus' name. So, when some fellow starts telling you, you need to be baptized in the titles. Say, all right, give me the second witness that it is to be. And they said, well, there's a book full of it. Well, it won't be hard to find it again, will it? I know there's a book full of it. No, you don't. That, what we call the Great Commission, was given to the apostles, and Peter was the chief spokesman on the day of Pentecost to interpret Father, Son, and Holy Ghost baptism. Jesus said, I've come in my Father's name, and you receive me not. Another will come in his own name, and him you will receive. He said, me and my Father are one. Now, some fellow said one time, said, well, that's just like a husband and his wife being one. And the husband or the wife spoke up and said, I'm no snuff dipper. Me and what? Meaning we're not one in everything. Because he dips snuff and I don't. Well, these brethren all baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Every one of you ought to put that down in your Bible. Right at Acts 2:38, you ought to write 2 Corinthians 13:1, Acts 2:38, Acts 8:16,
and Acts 19 and 5, and then you always have. Then when you give it to somebody, you have stopped the mouth of the gainsayer. That is, if you can stop it. But if... Now, Paul said in Galatians 1 and 6, he said, I marvel that you're so soon removed from him who called you in the grace of Christ into another gospel. He said, which is not a good another. But though there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. Eighth verse. But though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. This is what lots of young men, they finally read themselves to it. They go out to preach sometime, never having found these scriptures. They never harmonize this with St. John 3 and 5, except the man be born again, of water and of spirit. Peter said, if you'll repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, what for remission of sin, you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, which is water and spirit. But if you don't get that message, and this is the way to Christ, he that believeth and is baptized, Mark 16:16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, he that believeth not shall be damned. And so if you want not, get this, basically, down in your heart and mind, you will never worry about what the Trinity world is doing. Because they preach another gospel, which is not another. And Paul says, though we are an angel. That means, Paul, if you ever change the gospel that you preach, they're to let you be a curse. Because the first time he gave it to them was exactly like you got it. You never did change it. You died in the faith. So they didn't have to be a curse. But he says, though we are an angel. You young people out there, give me a mind. You possibly, some of you, I can just almost tell by the way you act, you don't hear everything. And all over the world, there are people that have gone into other faiths, and you say, well, how did they get into that? Because they never got the fundamentals. And once they got in the other world, they never heard it preached. And therefore, they slipped from where they were. But if you'll remember, in the mouth of two or three witnesses, Peter agreed with Paul. Paul with Philip. Philip with Paul and Peter. And in the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word is established. Brother Frost, I want you to start and read the 10th verse of Galatians 1 and 10. If you would, I wish y'all would turn with him to this. All of y'all turn, because I want you to read the 11th verse and you the 12th.
Or do I persuade men or God?
Wait just a minute. Let us put this over where you hear.
Or do I persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ.
All right, 11th verse.
But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after men.
12th verse.
For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ.
All right, where did Paul get that message? He said, I didn't get it from a man. He didn't get that message from Peter. Although, in the book of Galatians, he went up to Jerusalem to prove the gospel that God had given him that had harmonized with the apostles at Jerusalem. If you would want to know where that was, it's in the second chapter. 14 years after, I went up again into Jerusalem with Barnabas and took Titus with me also. And when I went up by revelation, communicated unto them that the gospel which I preached among the Gentiles, but privately unto them which were of reputation, lest by any means I should run or had run in vain. You know why the Apostle Paul went to Jerusalem? The Bible said the word of the Lord is to go forth from Jerusalem. That's the Old Testament. Two witnesses on that. All right.
Paul knew that when he got to studying the Word of the Lord, that if I got right the Word of the Lord, then it will harmonize with the apostles at Jerusalem. For it is to begin at Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the utmost part of the earth. So down to Jerusalem he went. All the apostles came in. Paul, stand up. Face the apostles. All right, now watch what he said. Second verse, 2:2 of Book of Galatians. I went up by revelation and communicated unto them that gospel which I preached among the Gentiles. All right, you're telling Peter, James, John, and the other apostles that. Got the picture? All right. Then it says, fourth verse, and that because of false brethren unaware brought in, who came in privately to spy out our liberties, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us from the bondage, to whom we gave place by subjection, no, not for now, that the truth of the gospel might remain with you. The apostles would not tolerate anybody bringing anything false in. But these, who seem to be somewhat, Paul speaking, whatsoever they were, makes no matter to me. God accepts no man's person. For they who seem to be somewhat in conference add nothing to me. Stand up, Peter. And we'll take you. So, when he got through telling them what he'd done, Peter couldn't add anything to it. The rest of the apostles couldn't add anything to it. But counterwise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision, that was to the Gentiles, was committed unto me, and the gospel of circumcision was unto Peter, for he that brought especially in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was made toward me, toward the Gentiles. And when James and Cephas, which is Peter, and John, who seemed to be Philip, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship, that we should go unto the heathen, and they unto the circumcision. Come here, Keith. Thank you. Stand up there with Paul. You apostles give Paul and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship. Now you all run. Now that's where you go. You may be seated. All right. Now the gospel of Acts 2:38 and the gospel of Paul in Galatians 2 are all harmonizing. And then Apostle Paul said in Acts, I want you to read this one of you young men, Acts 20th chapter. I have to find it myself. Paul, where are you? Get up there. Face these brothers. You see where you are? You're with the Ephesian elders. Now, Acts 27 says what?
For I have not.
Look them in the eye.
For I have not seen.
Shunned.
To declare unto you the whole counsel of God.
That means I have told it all to you. Right. Oh, you quit being nervous. Read that again to them.
For I have not sent to declare unto you the whole counsel of God.
How much is the whole counsel?
All.
How much?
All.
All right. I like that. I think that's cute. All right, Paul, I need you again. Everybody read this scripture if you got your Bibles. 1 Corinthians 14:37. I'm going to read it to him.
truth in sandals.
If any man think himself to be a prophet.
If any man think himself to be a prophet. That is, Lord, I know what's coming out tomorrow. Just think true. Read on.
Or a spiritualist.
That's a guy that thinks, boy, I really am spiritual.
Let him acknowledge.
Let him acknowledge. Let him confess. Let him say.
That thing that I have written unto you.
That the thing. That the thing I have written unto you are what?
Our commandments.
Are the
commandments of the Lord. Of the Lord.
All right. Now, you may be seen. Now, I have given you in just what you call a nutshell. You ever heard somebody say, fill my cup, fill it up? Well, I've filled up your cup tonight. If you can receive these fundamental scriptures. I have had young men go preach that never got this. Listen to me. They never got it. Therefore, they are not preaching the old apostolic fundamental gospel is because they never got the message. This is the message of the birth of water and spirit. The Apostle Paul said, I've given it all to you. I am shunned to declaring you the whole counsel of God. He said, if any man claims to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge the things that I write unto you, commandments of the Lord. What I preach to you, I never received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. And if we are an angel, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we preach, let him be accursed. Boy, that's stout, isn't it? And then, so you don't have any business fooling around in Trinity churches, charismatic churches, or any kind of church, unless they're going to let you do the preaching, because you have the message.
Amen.
And if you get this, if you just got that I gave you tonight, let me run through it. No man will be put to death but in the mouth of two or three witnesses. Well, a Trinity preacher baptized in the titles Father and Son and the Holy Ghost, Peter, Paul, and Philip will put him to death. Because he preaches another gospel than they preached. 2 Corinthians 13:1 said, this is the third time I'm coming into you. In the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word shall be established. In Acts 2:37, catch this. Remember, all of them names started with the letter P. Peter, Paul, Philip. Peter in Acts 2:38, Philip in Acts 8:16, and Paul in 19:5. And they agreed in the second chapter of the book of Galatians that they both, the apostles and Paul, and I say the apostle and Paul was an apostle, but he was not one of the 12. He was knocked down on the road to Damascus when he had letters in his pocket in the 9th chapter of the book of the Acts of the Apostles, when he went to lay hands on any and bring them to Jerusalem that was in this name. All right, so in the book of Galatians 2, they all agreed. Paul said, I never received this of man, neither was I taught it, but by revelation of Jesus Christ. Peter, the Lord said to Peter one night, who do men say that I am? He said, thou, one of the prophets and so forth. He said, who do you say that I am? He said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. He said, flesh and blood have not revealed this unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. That is, the Spirit had revealed to him who Jesus was. He got the same revelation, but in a different way than Paul. Paul said, I neither received this a man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Well, let me go a little further. Now, I want to say this. If you get that, I don't care whose church you go to. If you stick by your guns. Because nobody can confuse you on that. Nobody can run you off. Somebody was telling me the other day, they asked a preacher, said, well, why did the apostles baptize in Jesus' name? And they said they just wanted to emphasize Jesus. They baptized in Jesus' name for remission of sin. Ignoramus. Well, or we're going to let you be a curse, which you want to be a curse or an ignoramus. See the point? Well, now, all over the land, our people, or some people,
are shook because they don't get a revelation. Sometimes you hear of a man that goes from Jesus' name into the Trinity and they make a big blow. We got one over here that says he didn't ever get a revelation. He never knew in the mouth of two or three witnesses ever word should be established. He never knew if a man preached any other gospel than Paul preached, let him be accursed. He never realized that Apostle Paul and Peter agreed, and Jesus said in his prayer, they have kept thy word and they are not lost. Isn't that nice? So, all you got to do is just get that. If you just get that, you got lesson number one to keep you on the rock. But if you say, well, now, grandmother, well, didn't she preach it like Paul? No. Paul said, if any man preach any other gospel. He said, if any man, if we are an angel and we'll let your grandma be an angel, preach any other gospel in you than that which we preach, let him be accursed. So, no way. It's just Jesus' name, baptism. This is it. Peter, Paul, Philip, now two or three witnesses, every word be established. We'll kill you with three witnesses, Peter, Paul, and Philip. Got the picture? Can't put a man to death with the mouth of one witness. Got to do it by the mouth of two or three. And in the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word will be established. So, since you have found the way, then don't, well, do what I read to you in the first. Prove your own selves. See whether you're in the faith. Prove your own gospel. Check it out for yourself. Read it for yourself. And Matthew 28:19 was not given to a church. It was given to a bunch of apostles. And in the 24th chapter of the book of Luke, said he led them out as far as Bethany and blessed them and opened up their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. And said unto them, thus is written, thus behooved Christ to suffer and arise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem, and you're witnesses of these things. Those apostles, all but the son of perdition, were chosen witnesses of Jesus Christ, that Jesus' name baptism was to begin at Jerusalem. Let us stand. Is that all, Brother Terry? That's all you can understand one night. There are nine witnesses in the New Testament in Jesus' name, baptism.